This podcast does not constitute financial or investment advice. It is for educational, general information, and entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your own financial advisor before making any financial decisions.
And many women don't really get involved in their finances until they've lost their spouse. And that's too late, because by then all of the paperwork that needs to be in place to ensure everything moving over, you know, all of the finances moving over effectively, the woman have not been done, and it's too late.
You're listening to Banking on Girls, the podcast that explores the importance of financial literacy for girls and young women. And I'm your host, Marina Batliwala. Join me on this journey to uncover insights and inspiration. Hi everyone, my guest today is Melanie Mortimer, the president of the SIFMA Foundation. SIFMA is the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, and the SIFMA Foundation is the nation's leader in youth investor and financial education that ensures all young people, regardless of their background, have access to transformative knowledge and tools to prepare for their financial futures. Melanie has a master's in international management and an MBA from Aoyama Gakuin University in Tokyo, and her BA in English from Agnes Scott College in Georgia. Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you so much, Marina. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Melanie, you've spent so many years working in philanthropy and financial education, but now at the SIFMA Foundation, you're on a bold new mission to expand your reach to 25 million students. And that includes 12 and a half million girls. And that's, I think, just in the next 3 years. I know it's a cumulative number, but within the next 3 years, how are you planning to do that?
That's a great question. And yes, it's true. We have an ambitious growth goal to achieve 25 million youth by 2026. If I count it out, the point is that we believe there are opportunities for all young people to prepare for their financial future. And in particular, when you look at girls, there's such great need. Still, there are gaps around women in investing as opposed to men who invest. 67% are investing outside of retirement versus 100% for men. But what's great is that that has grown over 44% since 2018. And what we found is that women's results are actually outperforming men's by 0.4% in a 10-year period. So that just drives our growth goal even more significantly. And how we plan to achieve 25 million students having been reached is to expand the Stock Market Game program, which is SIFMA Foundation's flagship initiative around investing education, via our website, via teacher professional development, via training youth-serving nonprofit professionals to be able to deliver personal finance as a component of their after-school, out-of-school time initiatives, and to make our programs more readily available to families. We've actually already worked on many of these elements, and we're excited that we're beginning to see our numbers increase in particularly the nonprofit space and the family arena, where we traditionally were really more focused on the school day and working with educators. But at the very core of this is ensuring that people have the confidence to be able to teach personal finance, teach investing. And that's the reason that we develop tools and resources to this end, but also to equip them with their own insights to why expanding personal finance for young people is so critical.
Yes. And, you know, I've been fortunate to have been involved with some of SIFMA's programs during my career and my extracurricular activities. And I actually have used and continue to use the Stock Market Game to teach scouts in my daughter's scout troop. And what is incredible, it just works like an online trading platform. It's real time, almost real time, with a small delay. And the girls get so much confidence that they can go in there and buy stocks. And I think it's just phenomenal.
Amazing when you see something that would be traditionally considered the realm of adults becoming a part of a conversation of young people. And when you talk about money, it's so personal to all of us. We all use it. We all have a financial life starting at very young ages. Of course, the SIFMA Foundation doesn't want to leave it to chance that we all have a financial education. And so that's why we do what we do. But when you see young people dive into this formerly considered adult area, and you see them understanding concepts and applying them, it's eye-opening. It's also, I think, very encouraging because we can actually help them prepare for what's to come and do so in a safe space. So they're not jumping onto TikTok and reading something or hearing about something and then taking that information and making some kind of choice and taking action that's going to have detrimental effects for them, but actually they're able to weigh their choices and options and think about consequences. And yet when they're modeling this in the stock market game, like your troops, they're encountering some of these decision points, they're testing them out. And so they've learned kind of how to navigate that space, but they're having fun doing it.
Right. They have a lot of fun doing it. I guess it's important for people to know that anyone can access this or anyone in an educational setting can sign up.
The stock market game and all of our programs at the SIFMA Foundation are accessible via www.stockmarketgame.org. We offer the stock market game throughout the country. So we have about 650,000 youth each year participating, which includes, of course, 50% girls. And the program is structured with an online curriculum and an online simulation of the global capital markets. Students are investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, impact investments, utilizing pretend $100,000 portfolio. While the money is pretend, everything else is real. So they're on literally a state-of-the-art website that is equivalent to what a commercial financial firm. And as a result, it's real time. It feels like the decisions that you're making with your $100,000 portfolio are real. And the feeling of the responsibility of managing that money is real. We do have a lot of disappointed students at the end of the game session who have accumulated large profits in their portfolios, and we can't actually pay them out for those earnings. But by the same token, we also have a lot of parents that are really excited that the losses in the portfolios were not real as well. And young people do really well when they feel like they're being trusted with decision making, when they get to be in the driver making those decisions, when they are exploring the real world. So the stock market game has a lot of practical application in our everyday lives. As soon as the youth who are participating walk out the door, whether it's a school or a youth serving nonprofit, they're able to see the connections between the marketplace, their portfolios, the various industries, and the real world.
And of course, the stock market game is not the only thing that you have here to be able to teach kids. So I know you mentioned some of them, but what are some of the other programs that people can get into?
Thank you. Yeah. So the SIFMA Foundation first is 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been around for about 47 years, and we have a portfolio of programs that have evolved over that history, starting with the stock market game, which was launched in 1977. The stock market game, as we've discussed, is an online simulation of the capital markets that invites young people to get into teams and invest a $100,000 portfolio. It's proven to raise math test scores for students who participate versus those who take part in other programs. And it's proven to actually improve the behavior of teachers or educators who use the program, encouraging them to invest in and research their own retirement planning. Second game that we have is called InvestRight, and it's actually a national essay competition where young people apply what they've learned in the stock market game and they write an essay about a long-term financial scenario, which emphasizes asset allocation and goal setting. Questions could be, you have $10,000 in your portfolio, how would you allocate it across asset classes to plan for a personal or community goal? Talk about the investments you chose and why. Sometimes the answers are as fun as, you know, Oreo cookies. yummy in my tummy and good for my portfolio too, or other age appropriate types of essays. In InvestWrite, what's interesting is that the tens of thousands of essays that are written each year are ranked and judged by thousands of financial professionals and other volunteers who go online, and all of that is available at investwrite.org. We appreciate, Marina, that you've been a judge for InvestWrite, and we'd love to hear about your experience with the program as well.
Yes, and I think it goes back to your point when you're looking at these essays, how much young children can really understand things that, you know, I would consider would be part of my day-to-day work, part of at least. And I think that's what's so exciting about all the work that you're doing.
Thank you. We are really amazed at what we see the students begin to explore and apply. And I read about 150 of essays myself each semester. And I always put the last one down with a big smile on my face because I know that we've been effective in our work. I can see it in the train of thought that the students have, the pattern of thinking, the depth of their exploration of what money means in their lives and the importance of setting goals and really disciplining themselves to achieve those goals. Because after all, you know, looking around the country, looking at consumer debt, for example, a lot of this could be avoided. A lot of it is just about not having the insight or the knowledge, or maybe not the confidence, and therefore just not wanting to deal with anything financial and making superficial choices and decisions, which then harm one's long-term financial management, financial accumulation, or success. And I think it's good for us to have opportunities to equip ourselves with the very fundamentals of good financial behavior and access to resources that are going to enable us to thrive, like online research, all of the financial websites, understanding the role of a broker, understanding, you know, how investing is different from saving, the power of compounding, understanding risk. And these are all essential tools that we see Stock Market Game, InvestWrite, and our other program participants taking part in.
I mean, you raise a really important point. Something as simple as just getting into debt and people just maybe not even knowing where to turn or what to do is something that absolutely you can teach kids to be confident about at a very young age. So that's very, very true. Do you think there needs to be more done to encourage goals when it comes to personal finance education?
Oh, absolutely. I've long been a proponent in this space. I myself went to a girls' school. I went to a women's college. I've always appreciated attention to specific realities of different individuals and different populations across all demographics. And when it comes to girls, you know, as I mentioned, it's thrilling to see that women are investing more now and that they're outperforming their male counterparts, which was a surprise to me. But more importantly, you know, I sort of come from one of those stretch generations where my mom really was not involved in our family finances. It was all my father until she realized she had to be. And many women don't really get involved in their finances until they've lost their spouse. And that's too late because by then all of the paperwork that needs to be in place to ensure everything moving over, you know, all of the finances moving over effectively, the woman have not been done and it's too late. But more importantly, we also want to make sure that young girls have role models, information, insights, and encouragement to think about the financial sector as a workplace of the future, to be able to navigate choices, to leverage all of the financial industry, as well as their own personal finances to be successful. And there's a gap. And so we want to bridge that gap. I would say that a significant part of that gap is mathematics. Certainly going back to my generation and earlier, there was lack of encouragement for women, or girls, I should say, to participate in really aggressively pursue math. That's changed with the STEM education focus at the U.S. Department of Education. And I think just national recognition of the importance of mathematics there has been a lot more encouragement of both girls and boys to improve their math readiness, their math skills. But numeracy underpins financial literacy. And so that's a great starting point for young girls to have the basic building blocks for being able to be successful with their personal finances. But there's more to it. There are behaviors, and there are behaviors that girls may grow up seeing or not seeing that can determine their success financially. And as a parent, I think you just really want to model that positive financial behavior as much as you can, regardless of your income or your financial resources. You want to have open and honest conversations about money. You want to teach basic concepts like budgeting, saving, investing, or even the behaviors that underpin good financial habits, such as delayed gratification, discipline, understanding the value of things. And there are lots of ways that parents engage their daughters in household financial decisions, even going to the grocery store and cost comparing. There are also ways to bring in positive role models in finance. There are plenty out there all around the world, as I'm sure you know, because you've interviewed many of them. This is a great way to create a kind of light post or raise the flag for girls to see that there's something to aspire to beyond just their personal finance. And then through programs like the SIFMA Foundations, the Stock Market Game, Invest Right, we also have a newer program called Invest Quest, and that's a 30-minute investing journey, which is free and right on our website homepage that you can try out, non-intimidating, and begin to see the kind of basics of managing a portfolio of investments. These are the kinds of efforts that can help ensure that girls are receiving, or at least equipped to receive, the same opportunities around financial empowerment, enabling them to thrive in all aspects of their lives, and particularly in the financial.
So Melanie, how did you end up in the securities and financial markets industry?
I've actually been in this role for 15 years, leading the SIFMA Foundation through the millions of youth that we've been able to serve. I certainly did not come up with this brilliant idea of the investing simulation. But prior to this role, I was in the philanthropy space for 10 years. And one of my areas of purview was financial education and other educational programs for underserved youth. The inspiration there was that there are so many ways that we can equip individuals of all backgrounds and level the playing field for positive future lives. And financial education is one of those sustainers that if you learn it early on, you can begin to build a better life. And it sort of compounds itself in getting better. So that was my most recent connection. And prior to that, I was in Tokyo, Japan, where I worked in the corporate communications space and did a lot of intercultural work with business people of all backgrounds coming to Japan to want to understand what they were confronting. And I guess the common thread through all of it is always being able to take a step back and look at one's environment and see the variety of experiences and understand how to build out a pathway for all to be successful.
And so how did you grow up thinking about money? You mentioned your mom faced a very stark reality when she started to have to manage her own finances. But how about when you were young?
Yeah, when I was young, our family was really all about discipline and in terms of money, very fair, wonderful parents. And I was fortunate to grow up in a household with both of my parents. But in terms of how financial matters were approached, I think my father was in the Navy. He was a single earner. And so our household income was considered scarce in terms of our household view, that we were taught that our environment would influence us in a variety of ways to want to spend more than we had, and that we would need to restrain ourselves from overspending, that there were still ways to do that without that encroaching on us having a great childhood and a wonderful lifestyle. So, for example, I remember when we went to the airport my first time. There were lots of stores there. And of course, my brother, sister, and I wanted to go and buy something from the store. And my mom said, no, you're not allowed to shop in the airport. Same was with hotels. We're ever at a hotel. And that was very rare, actually. But we weren't allowed to shop in hotels because she taught us that there's an incredible markup and that, you know, the things that we wanted there, we would just need to wait and have later or in the future if that was something we thought we would need to bring it along with us. Nowadays, it's a little different. You can't carry water or soda or things through the airport because of the security lines. But there's so many other ways that I've been able to benefit from understanding those few things, that money is a scarce commodity, that you need to discipline yourself not to spend more than you have in the face of a society that is going to encourage you to do so, and that you can still have a wonderful life even if you don't spend all your money. And in fact, by saving it and letting it grow, you can plan for bigger goals in the future and live a better life. And so it's pretty straightforward, simple, but important approach.
And is there anything you know about money now that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Just start earlier to save, start earlier to invest. When my father was 63 years old, he decided to change his career completely and he became a financial advisor. I was in my 20s at the time and I was earning money, and he encouraged me to open up an investment account, a Roth IRA. I was really nervous about it because I thought everything that was going to go into it would basically disappear because it was a risky space and I didn't really understand how to manage investments and I didn't know anything about the stock market, even though I had a business degree. And so I just sort of said goodbye to the money that I gave him. And it took me a little bit of time of beginning to do my own research that I realized there's actually a purpose in investing. And as I saw that nest egg grow, and now even that my father's gone and it's decades later, I see how that money has built. I know that had I learned about this even earlier and started when I was 18, I would have been in a much better position financially now in my life. The most important thing that we can all do is find a way to underpin what we're exposed to with real facts and then share those with folks we know. Because whether you work in a financial firm or you are an art instructor, whatever you do doesn't determine your level of confidence with money or your level of knowledge. Everyone can benefit from hearing good information about how to manage saving, investing, how to understand the financial choices that are out there for us and how to learn to navigate them.
Yeah, you raise a very important point there. And it's actually one of the reasons I started this podcast, because I had so many accomplished women, friends, mums, did not have a lot of confidence when it came to money. And it was just astounding. I couldn't match that very confident persona with someone that really wasn't confident around money. That's when I realized that it's really a major, major issue.
The one last thing I'll share with you is that in the stock market game, part of why we started working with families more is for that very reason. And we've found that for parents, having conversations with their children and with girls about investing and personal finance can be very intimidating and very stressful. But when students are using the stock market game, many of them will go home and start talking to their families about what they're learning because it's current events, it's current information. And they're going home and they're turning on the news. They're watching financial news. They're listening to it because they want to win the stock market game. And so they want to accumulate as much knowledge as they can get. That begins family conversations around the dinner table. Sometimes it's that we get a letter from a parent saying, my child is talking more to his grandmother now than ever before because his grandmother, you know, had an interest in investing and now this is their bonding conversation. And most importantly, that parents themselves are beginning to have these conversations with their children. Sometimes it's entirely initiated by the child, and the child is actually informing and instructing the parent. sometimes they're at the same level having these conversations. And oftentimes they both explore next steps. So yesterday, one of our programs is the Capitol Hill Challenge program, and we match every member of Congress to two high needs middle and or high schools in their districts. And those schools have student teams that compete in the stock market game, and they get to meet with their member of Congress. And so yesterday, Congressman Raskin was meeting with his matched school, and he asked the students, there are about eight of them in the room, how many of them would actually be interested in investing or have already invested? And several of them raised their hands. They had already invested. Of course, they were too young to do so on their own, but they had gone home to talk to their parents about what they were learning. And one of them was encouraging his mother, and his mother had no idea what investing was all about, but he was teaching her, and his goal through the program was to get his mother to invest a little bit of money with him to try it out.
That's phenomenal. Finally, Melanie, what advice do you have for parents raising girls in today's world?
Raising girls in today's world is certainly a bold initiative. Raising children, period, is a bold initiative. But I think that to consider prioritizing financial education and empowerment from an early age, start by having, you know, these open and honest conversations about money, teaching basic concepts like budgeting, saving, and investing, exposing them to the positive role models, which I think we've talked a little bit about, and utilizing our programs at the SIFMA Foundation. There's an easy gateway, just stockmarketgame.org, and there's no risk involved in participating, except that you might have some interesting conversations and lose track of time.
Melanie Mortimer, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Marina. It's been a pleasure, and we really appreciate the work that you're doing. There couldn't be a better topic for families, for girls to envision the future that they may have as one that is financially prepared and financially successful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Banking on Girls podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate the podcast and be sure to hit subscribe or follow so you can receive notifications of new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and at bankingongirls.com.